I'm ready to go. Take me out to the ball game. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he writes, he didn't have baseball in his time. It wasn't invented for a few years later, right? Just a few. So he tries to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the concept of the body, and that's a good way to do that. But I personally, sometimes Paul's writings get a little confusing to me when I start talking about different parts of the body and this one, and he veils things, and you know, the less respectable ones are clothed with honor. I'm not sure what he's talking about there. Well, maybe I am, but I don't want to talk about it. But I wonder if Paul was around today, if maybe he would use maybe the game of baseball to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was younger, my father was very active in Little League baseball, as were my brothers, and he had some connections, and so he became friends with a baseball player. I don't know if you remember this name from your years of baseball. The man's name was Brooks Robinson. Anybody remember Brooks Robinson?
Third base.
Baltimore Orioles. They used to call him the vacuum cleaner because he made such plays that, man, were just unbelievable. And I would watch him, and he would make plays. Even today I saw something on the internet about a third baseman who made a wonderful play. And what did they do? They right back to Brooks Robinson. Multiple Golden Glove winners, and he would play. He wasn't a great hitter. The man, let's face it, he did okay, but he wasn't a great hitter. But boy, could he play the field. And one day we were with him, and I was asking him how he learned how to play so well. He says, hours and hours, he would just take the ball and bounce it against the wall of his garage or wherever he could, and he kept catching it. And however that ball came back, he did whatever he could to catch it. And so by practice, Brooks Robinson learned how to get this super ability to catch and to throw off balance and to do all those things. You know, there had to be some basic amount of talent, which there was a lot of talent that he had. But talent, sometimes when it's not used, kind of dwindles, right? If you guys don't practice your music, what happens? Down the tubes, right? I might as well throw this ball right down the... You wouldn't do that? Give it a different sound to your sax, wouldn't it? Yes. So... But it is that practice of our gifts that helps our gifts to grow. And the more we practice it, the more we grow. Now, you all, everyone in this room has a spiritual gift. You have been given a gift by God. And that gift requires you to practice it, or else it becomes dull. Right? Maybe it's you have a gift of sharing God's love. Maybe you have a gift of healing. Maybe you have a gift of, as Dale read off the gifts, perhaps you have a gift of that spirit. So individually, everyone needs to practice so that they get their gifts, right? So who knows? Maybe you have a gift of, I don't know, give me a gift. Which one of the gifts might you have? Sculpturing, okay? If you don't do sculpture, if you don't practice it, you lose it. Maybe you have a gift of telling someone about Jesus, a gift of interpretation. Or maybe you have a gift of some other gifts. If you don't use it, then you lose it. But guess what? You may have the greatest gift, one of the best gifts, but you can't do everything you need to do for the Lord by yourself, right? Paul says it in a way like he talks about the body. You know, the eye can't say I'm so good that I don't need the nose. Because where would smell come from? The hand can't say, I'm so good I don't need the foot, because how would you get around? We have, all the parts of the body have to work together. It's the way it is with baseball. Brooks Robinson was a great third baseman. No doubt about it. Hall of Famer, great third baseman. Jackie Robinson, great player. His efforts at baseball broke the color boundary and helped to change the face of baseball. And you know what? He really had to undergo some persecutions to do that, to break that boundary. It's not easy when you try to do something different. Sometimes you get the slings and the arrows and the hard stuff. It is with the gifts of the Spirit, too. Sometimes when you get to do, when you do something, the person next to you might not appreciate it right away. You know? If he says, I have the gift of miracles, you might go, man, his head's already swelled. Now he's got to have the gift of miracles, too? Come on. The church, the body of Christ, is like a body, but it's also like a team. All of us need to play a part. And when I think about great players, I think about people like who? Who are the greatest players in baseball? Babe Ruth.
Joe DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio.
Hank Aaron. Ty Cobb.
Lou Boudreau.
Larry Doby. Sandy Koufax. Who?
Cal Ripken.
Willie Mays. Omar Pascal, right? Vasquez. Okay. You know what? Sometimes baseball teams and team owners spend a lot of money hiring a star. Babe Ruth in his day was a star. Okay? He could hit the ball, and he was a home run king, and he, for his time, he made big money. Okay? But Babe Ruth did not, in himself, make the Yankees. If it wasn't for the other players, who played first base for the Yankees when Ruth played? Lou Gehrig. Every day, Lou Gehrig was there, and he played. And if you didn't have the other team members playing, you could have a star, and you might generate some box office, but you know what? Your team was terrible.
If you're going to win a pennant,
if you're going to win the World Series, you don't want stars. Okay? The best teams that win World Series aren't stars. They don't have a star or two stars that make them competitive. It's when the team works together to be the team. Suppose we were playing baseball and we didn't have a center fielder. What would happen? Everybody be hitting the center field and we'd get our pants beaten off, wouldn't we? Or suppose there was no catcher. I like the catcher's part because, you know, catchers sometimes are really underrated. The catcher gets up there and gets down like this, and they're there catching the ball, and you know what? They're watching the whole game. And they're controlling the whole game. And when they make their signs, they're not only telling the pitcher what to throw, they're telling everybody else on the field what's going on with this batter. And that catcher has a view of the whole field. Often catchers aren't great hitters, but they see and can bring a team together. And if you're a catcher and you don't have a good arm, if you can't throw the ball, you're in deep trouble. Because the person gets on first base, and what are they going to do? Steal second. still third. It's all about being in the team. It's all about the team. When Paul writes about this, Paul's talking about the team. When Jesus pulls his 12 disciples together, it's about the team. Jesus knew he wasn't going to be able to do it all himself. He had to build his team. 12 people became Jesus' team. How many of you find that when you work in something that you can get a whole lot more done when you have a team working together? Right? Now, here's the tricky part. Keeping the team working together. Is Congress a team?
No.
You got to keep the team working together for the common good. In baseball, the goal is to win the game, win the pennant. In our faith, what's the team? What's the goal?
Win souls.
Win souls. Tell people about Christ. Give them an opportunity and help them to change their life so they can live fully in God's eyes as God's children. And sometimes it just means this as simple a thing as saying, you are worthy. You are worthy. You're part of the family. Now, the question is which of you or which of us, not you, just us, are going to be part of the team or not? You know, in baseball, there are people who sit on the bench. Right? There's people playing the field, then there's people who sit on the bench. Because you can only put how many people on the field at once?
Nine.
So baseball has a roster of a number of people, and they keep those people involved, but they have a bench in which they can draw from. And people sitting on the bench, they're just waiting for their opportunity to get in the game, to be a part of that game and play on the field. But they're not any less part of the team. Just because they're sitting on a bench doesn't make them any less part of the team. When I used to go with my father and sit there, it was always, if you're on the bench, you better be chattering. You better be cheering the team on. You know, hey, batter, 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 come on, batter, 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 batter. And when somebody got a hit, yay, everybody got a hit. And they would come in, if they got a home run, they would run down, hold up your, everybody on this side, hold up your right hand. Right? Hold up your right hand. Because when you got a home run, you came in and you slapped everybody's hand like this, right? All right. So if you were sitting on the bench, you were still part of the team. Still part of the team. Well, that's what we need here. We need to all be part of the team. We all play an important role. And your role is important. Maybe you're not out there on the first string, out there doing all the rough work. Even if you're sitting in a pew, you can be part of our team and God's team. You can support us. You can cheer everybody on because you're valuable. You're valuable. And maybe there's a gift that God's given you that you need to practice so you can be like Brooks Robinson and earn a golden glove. You never know. Because that's what we do, right? Home run! And all the people of God said, amen!